That's right. We're right here. It is a beautiful afternoon out there. Gotten a little hot here today. But I have Christy Hall here. She currently serves as the Deputy Secretary for Finance and Administration for the South Carolina Department of Transportation. Boy, that's a title for you, Christy.
Yes, it is, Ann.
Well, it's good to have you here today. I know that you have really taken on a lot from being right here for this district. What did you do before for the South for DOT?
Yes, I was the head district engineer for this area and responsible for everything from dead animals in the road to potholes to signs to traffic lights. Pretty much anything road and bridge related I was responsible for.
And now?
Now I'm responsible for $1.5 billion in managing through making sure that we're budgeting for that money and prioritizing the spending of it and the resource allocation of it.
Wow. And you're a civil engineer, correct? You went to Clemson.
Yes, I am a civil engineer by training. I'm a registered professional engineer. I've been with DOT for about 20 years, serving in a variety of roles from design, construction, a little bit of maintenance experience, all the way through federal programming and fund management. And again, kind of worked my way up through the agency to management and was called upon to come into the finance arena about 18 months ago.
Well, isn't that exciting? Do you ever wish sometimes you were just back here?
Well, I certainly miss home. Yeah. There's no doubt about that, but I certainly enjoy what I do and appreciate the opportunity to serve the citizens of the state.
Absolutely. But it's got to be a harrowing, I want to use the word harrowing, to work with a budget that is very low. I mean, it's a lot of dollars, but very low for the needs that are necessary. I mean, you know, what some of the things we're going to talk about is what is before the legislature right now. Of course, what is how do you decide what projects get done and what don't? We have a bridge system, which is just in very, very dire situation, I would say. I talked to Governor Haley about this first part of the year about what was going to be done, and of course she was very concerned that we didn't have something like what happened in the state of Washington, which did happen in Washington. I mean, this type of thing could happen here in South Carolina, couldn't it?
Oh, it could happen anywhere in the nation, actually, but we have a rigorous inspection procedure for our bridges, just like all the other states do, including the states where we had the most recent bridge incidents.
Well, I think they were graded, what, adequate or whatever the grading is that for that bridge, if I remember correctly.
That's correct. And I believe there were some deficiencies that had been noted with the bridge, and so they had increased the frequency of inspections on that bridge, just like we do in this state when we noted deficiency or concern on the bridge. We increase the number of times we review it and inspect it, looking to see if there's any progression in any of the deterioration of the bridge.
But the bridges are one of the issues in our state, as well as the roads. I mean, I was amazed that in our state we have the fourth largest state-maintained highway system in the nation. Can you explain how we can be ahead of Texas, and I could understand maybe North Carolina, Virginia, not as big, but those are three bigger states than what little old South Carolina is. How do we come in fourth here?
Well, certainly Texas is geographically much larger than South Carolina, but it's really not so much about geographics and as much as it is about the actual policy or the local ownership of the roads. And that's where there is a little bit of disconnect with South Carolina, in that South Carolina, well over 60% of the roads in the state are under the control of the DOT, the state DOT, as opposed to local government, cities and counties, or maybe even private ownership. In some of the other states that you did not mention, their state ownership or responsibility is the opposite. In other words, they're more along the lines of 30% to 40% of ownership, as opposed to the 60%+ that we have in South Carolina. So there's a little bit of disconnect there with regards to ownership of the roads. So because South Carolina has so many roads that are classified in the state system, that's how our numbers grew so large, and we became a little bit of a outlier when you look at these statistics.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things that I have never understood, okay, let's take I-26, a state road or a federal road?
It is a state road. Mm-hmm. However, it is eligible for federal funding, and it works like a reimbursement-type process where the state spends the money up front, and then we request reimbursements based on eligible activities, which says a lot, but basically what it means is that we're responsible for maintaining it. We're responsible as a state for widening it. However, if there's an issue where we need to widen it and we set up the appropriate agreements with our federal partners, we are eligible to request a reimbursement through the federal government at a discounted rate. So
that sounds like a bunch of malarkey to me. So, but we send money for gas, part of the gas tax on the gas tax that we all pay goes to the federal government, correct?
That's correct.
I mean, 16 cents, is that for the state, and then there's more tax that goes to the federal government?
Yes. Well, very close. There's approximately 16.75 cents that's collected at the state level, mm-hmm. that we use as an agency and some other agencies to fund our needs at the state level. And then there's about 18.4 cents that's collected at the same time that's considered a federal user fee that is sent to Washington and pooled.
Well, what do they get that for? That's what I want to know now. Since you just told me that they're not responsible, we can reimburse. So what do they get that money for there,
Christy? Sure they're responsible. Sure. Well, basically it's the federal aid eligible routes within the state and the other states. So that money is basically pooled, and we're still somewhat of a donor state, which means that we, you know, for every dollar we send up, we don't quite get that dollar back. We get a little bit less than that. It's about 92 cents on the dollar, roughly, that we're able to draw down. But the annual amount is approximately about $608 million annually that we're eligible to request at the federal level. So we take, and of course we have what's called a match on top of that, so we have to match that money. In other words, it's not an all-you-can-eat buffet. We have to bring something to the table.
So we don't just get this $600 million coming back here into the state. We have to, if we got $600 million, we'd have to spend $600 million or close to it?
Yeah. Well, basically the way it works, a simplified version of the way it works is we have to spend about $725 million. Mm-hmm. That would include the match, the state match. And then we can request a reimbursement up to about $608 million of federal dollars. And that's very simplified version.
Sure.
Of it.
So why is it you have to spend the money first to get reimbursed? That's what I want to know. Isn't that that creates problems, doesn't it, Christy, in the budget and everything?
Well, it certainly presents some cash flow opportunities, shall we say.
Cash flow opportunities. Hey, that's a buzzword for business today. Cash flow opportunities. Excellent. Hey, I'm here with Christy Hall. She is the Deputy Secretary for Finance and Administration for the South Carolina Department of Transportation, commonly called DOT. We are going to be right back, so don't you go away.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. Hey, I'm Ann Eller, right here in my studio in the back of Sharp Facets. Gracie's being good right now, laying over on her pillow. Hallelujah. And I've got Christy Hall here with us. She serves as the Deputy Secretary for Finance and Administration for DOT, so Department of Transportation. And we just had a couple of calls come in. We were sort of touching on this, but I guess some people didn't catch it. It's kind of complicated. But the question, I guess, basically is, what does it take for us to get not be a donor state and get all our money that we should be getting for doing the roads?
Yeah, Ann, that's a great question, and is one that we ask ourselves all the time as well. But basically, the way the federal funding stream is established is that there are certain states that just do not have the revenue base necessary to support their system. For example, think about a state like Wyoming, perhaps. That's a or Montana. It's a very large state, and it doesn't have as many highways on it, but it certainly doesn't have the population or the tourist population that a state like South Carolina has, a growing state with a vibrant population, including tourists. So a state like Montana is more on the receiving side. In other words, they may receive, you know, $1.03 or $1.04 or maybe even $1.10 for every dollar they send in to support the federal aid eligible routes. So growing states like South Carolina that are growing in population primarily in the southern region of the U.S.,
sure.
Those states are generally donor states because we obviously collect much more. And,
but we have roads that are in bad condition, Christy. We have potholes. We have all this with our roads. Certainly, if we're contributing that money, we could definitely use that money if we could get our hands on it. Correct? I mean, it's not a question of that. I mean, we have roads that have very dire issues.
Sure. I mean, the needs are certainly there. They're there nationwide and certainly in South Carolina. You know, we've spent most of this year talking about the funding gap that we have in South Carolina. You know, we're funded at about or resourced at about 50% of the need, mm-hmm. and so you know, we could easily take twice as much in resources and apply that to repairing roads and bridges in the state. You know, it gets to an issue of federal funding policy. It gets into issues of, you know, every time there's a federal funding bill, reauthorization bill that's passed, which we just had passed last year, the funding methodologies change in those, and so you have to interpret them and figure out exactly, did you come out ahead, behind, about even, or where are you?
Is it because South Carolina's a recalcitrant state?
Well, I wouldn't say that exactly, but
just questioning it. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I would say that we have improved in our reimbursement percentage over the years. There was a point in time when we were down in the 80% range, and we were successful with our congressional delegation to get some things included in some more recent reauthorization bills that increased our reimbursement ratio up to the 92.5%. The other thing I would say is that South Carolina has historically poised itself very well, such that towards the end of each federal fiscal year, as other states are unable to spend their allocation, their federal allocation of funds, South Carolina has consistently been at the wait. Waiting to take advantage of those unspent funds elsewhere. So those monies are in government lingo called after August money, because that's close to when the federal fiscal year ends. And we have been very successful in capturing those redistribution of federal funds annually. So our team has done a fantastic job of planning and preparing for that annually.
Wow. Well, that's good to hear. Now, Bo, let's talk about what is happening here in South Carolina. I am appalled to hear we have certain roads that are in poor condition, and in some cases, what does it take, $51 million just to do 8 miles of road? Did I get that right? I think I'm close to right on that. No, let's see, 20, yeah, what is the figure? 51 million when the roads are good, 8 miles when the roads are poor. Is that right?
Yeah, I don't think that's quite the right number. At least I hope not. Otherwise, I have a major budget issue already.
Well, I'm helping you out today, Christy.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Ann. But
no, but there is a huge difference in the 8 miles versus 51 miles or something. What are the figures on that? It's huge.
Well, basically, when you look at road repairs, we like to categorize it into three categories. One is what we call a preservation type treatment, and that's a low cost type treatment, and basically. Where we go out and we may patch or fill cracks in the roadway and do very minimal type repairs. I know as you drive around the Greenwood, Abbeville, Lawrence area, you may see the roads with all these black squiggly lines all over it, and that's what that is. It's a preservation treatment where we're going in to seal the cracks in the roadway to keep the moisture out, so we don't go through freeze and thaw cycles and break apart the asphalt. So that's a preservation. That's the first category. It's very low cost, high benefit because it extends the service life of your road. So we may get an extra, 3, 4, 5 years of service life out of that road before we have to make any major repairs. And those are typically about, just under $20,000 per lane per mile. So for a two-lane roadway, you're looking at about $40,000 a mile. Very low cost.
According to who?
Well,
as we go on here, we'll understand.
Sure, and you got to think this is more than just material cost, okay? So you're talking labor, material, equipment, all those type of things that you have to have in place to build a project. The next category is rehabilitation, and that's a little more intensive, where we may go in and do a little bit of patchwork here and there on the road, and then we may or may not overlay the road with a new layer of asphalt. And those are a little bit more expensive, of course, and they're about $123,000 per lane mile. So for a two-lane road, just double it, and so you're talking about, $250,000 approximately for a rehabilitation. So obviously, a lot more repair work, higher cost. And then finally, on the road repairs, the next level or higher level of work is the reconstruction, and that's where you go in and do a complete rebuild. Typically, you go in and you completely remove the pavement. You may go in and add cement or something else to the base of the roadway to strengthen it, and then come back in and rebuild it from the bottom up. And those are of course more expensive again, and they're about just under $200,000 per lane mile for a roadway. So two lane roadway, 1 mile, you're looking at about $400,000 for those. So obviously the most cost-effective thing to do is to intercept the repairs on the road as early as you can. I frequently use the analogy of a roof repair. If your roof starts to leak and you've got a shingle that's hanging down, it's much more cost-effective to go up and repair that one shingle and do it sooner rather than later, because the longer you wait, the more extensive the repairs become, and that's a very similar situation with the roads.
Absolutely. So now, what would you say, what is the condition of our roads overall then, Christy? I mean, all these miles that we have, 41,444 miles of state highway system.
Well, we have some roads that are in good condition, but most of the roads are not in good condition.
Okay.
If you look at the interstate facilities, which are primarily eligible to receive the federal funding that we talked about earlier, the pavement condition on the interstates is in very good condition. As a matter of fact, it's about 70% rated in good condition. Of course, there's some bad sections. Everybody talks about I-95 down around the Georgia border and how, you know, different it is compared to our neighboring states. But the interstates are, as far as pavement condition, are in good shape. The capacity or the widenings that are needed are a little different story on the interstates. The next category of roads that we talk about as far as pavement conditions are something we call the primary system, which is typically your U.S. 221 type routes or your SC-72 type routes, your U.S. and SC routes. Those are almost opposite to where only 13% of those roads are classified in good condition statewide.
Wow.
Most of it is in either fair or poor condition. And then, of course, everybody talks about the more smaller or the secondary system, which are your farm-to-market type roads. A lot of the back roads. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And some mill village roads or secondary roads are in the state system, which, again, goes back to what we talked about with regards to the disparity of the highway system in South Carolina. But on those roads, again, only about 11% of those are in good condition. The rest of them are in either fair or poor condition.
Wow.
And exactly. And, of course, being a native of this area, I look at the Lakelands region. And as a matter of fact, before I came up to visit with you today, I pulled the stats for the secondary system or the rural roads in our area. And for us, only about 7% rated in good condition, which is, I think, obvious to those of us that live and work in this area.
Absolutely. Hey, we're here with Christy Hall. She is with the South Carolina DOT, Department of Transportation. We're going to join the news in progress, and we'll be back. So don't you go away.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
All right, we're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. Hey, we just had a question come in from Lander that evidently this person is going to be working on government obligations for the roads and for the port. They wanted to know if they could get in touch with you and if you'd answer some questions for them, Christy.
Sure, be more than happy to take any phone calls or emails, and we'll be glad to provide my contact information towards the end of the show if you'd like, or I could do it now.
Sure, go ahead. Just give them the phone number so they know what it is. And, of course, if they want to contact you, you are now putting yourself out there, Christy Hall.
Well, that's I'm here to serve,
okay,
Ann, as always.
Well, that's great.
I'm based out of the Columbia office, and my phone number down there is area code 803-737-1240. That's 1240. That's my main office number, and my email address is Hall, HALLCA, like candy apple, at scdot.org.
Well, there you go. All right, and we will give that information out again. Hey, if anybody has a question, you want to get this figured out on the DOT, you know, we always have questions about it. We have an excellent opportunity with Christy Hall here because she is the Deputy Secretary for Finance and Administration. I got her on the air. I'm very lucky to have her here with us here today. So, you know, one of the things we talked about the fact of the roads and what's happening with that. Now, the bridges, this is the thing that I think really concerns us. And I remember reading an article not long ago about the bridges where it says it's not only repairing the bridge, but so many of them have sewer systems and water and everything that is part of the rebuild if they go in to rebuild or fix a bridge. Is that correct?
Well, there certainly are some utility lines generally near the bridges or either attached to the bridge or near the creek in close proximity to the bridge. And, of course, we have to work with those local utility companies anytime we go in to either make a significant major repair or reconstruct the bridge.
And I understand that that's actually made it more expensive. It's not just a bridge repair or a bridge redo. It actually, and because some of the rulings and specifications have changed, so that makes it even more expensive.
Well, certainly bridge standards and design standards have changed over the years. You know, in South Carolina, we have about 2,000 of our 8,400, approximately 8,400 bridges in the state. About 2,000 of those are approaching 50 years in life, and that's actually close to the
death.
We call it design life.
Yeah.
So they're approaching the end of their design life. Now, that's not to say they're in imminent danger of collapse or anything like that, but it's certainly a wave of bridge repairs and rehabs that we see coming.
And this is across the nation, because there was the huge building of bridges and everything that went on nationally, and that was built, 50 years ago. So that's a generation ago, really.
Sure. I mean, when you look at what happened post-World War II with the Eisenhower and the interstate system and just all the tremendous investment that was put in the infrastructure, you know, we're right back in that same cycle again, because even though a lot of those structures, including our interstates, were built to the highest standards at that time, you know, over 50, 70 years, things change. Vehicles get larger. Traffic gets heavier.
Much heavier, isn't it? Yeah.
More frequent, higher use. Widths of our travel lanes are different now. You know, you cross over what feels like a very narrow bridge now, but in reality, when that bridge was built, it was state of the art. Of course, now it feels narrow, and you know, we look at it and think that it needs to be wider because the roads have gotten wider over time. But yes, the bridge conditions in the state are something that not just South Carolina, but the nation as a whole is keeping a close eye on. You know, South Carolina does have about 8,400 bridges, as I mentioned earlier. Approximately 1,600 of those are considered substandard. Now, substandard doesn't, again, mean that they're in imminent danger of collapse. It just means that either...
Sounds like that to me. Substandard.
Yeah, well, I cross over substandard bridges myself going home every day. Of course, in the engineering side, with my engineering background, I can recognize it. But, you know, substandard could be anything from a narrow width, or it could be, you know, maybe the guardrail is not up to standard.
They redid the bridge over there by Cambridge Park.
Yes.
And that was quite a project that went on for quite a while. Are we looking at projects, any bridges here that are in imminent danger here, or, you know, substandard? Okay.
Well, I mean, there's certainly going to be bridges that are going to be classified as substandard in almost all of the counties in the state. If we recognize any imminent danger on the bridge, we will close the structure. And that's actually what happened on the Cambridge project. We received a phone call one morning that there was an issue with the bridge, and we sent some people out, and they checked it out and immediately closed the bridge. But, you know, we have close to 16 bridges currently in the state that we've closed and are working on making repairs to those bridges that we closed ourselves after inspections identified, you know, potential concerns or something else along those lines.
Sure. So what are we going to do about the bridges, Christy? Excuse me.
Well, bridge safety is a concern of our commission, which helps us identify the priorities for the state. Whenever we look at the revenues and the resources that are available to us, our engineering team recommends certain resource allocations as far as so much for bridge work based on federal requirements, so much on the state side as well for projects that are non-federal aid. So we try to take the limited amount of funding that we have and try to spread it out and make sure that we're capturing all the eligible federal dollars that are available to us annually in the categories that they're available to us in. So there's strings on everything, especially on the federal money. With the new federal transportation bill that was passed that we're operating under currently, there are certain standards that they're looking to set into place for the states to follow. In other words,
more regulations.
Well,
yes.
It's more of a performance measures. In other words, if they want to see certain conditions improve, or states achieve certain conditions with the monies that are allocated to them at the federal level. For example, one of the criteria that we know that's going to be in place because it's written into the language of the bill or into the Transportation Act is the condition of the bridges, the riding surface of the bridge on the interstates. And so we, of course, immediately we looked at assessed our assets in South Carolina, and we looked like we're going to be in fairly good condition on that measure. But they're looking to implement many other measures just to make sure that a focus is placed on what's called the national highway system that's related to the federal funding.
Hmm. Well, when we come back, we're going to be talking about the budget because everybody, of course, is hearing the news in the budget. It's all across different, not only the South Carolina DOT, but all different departments are trying to figure out how to fund the projects. More money is coming into the coffers here in South Carolina, but still we have a lot of needs. And, of course, the roads, if we're going to grow with tourism and just grow in general, we're going to need to make sure that these roads come up to standards. So when we come back, we're right here with Christy Hall. We're going to be talking about budgeting. So let's hear a word from our sponsors. We'll come back. Don't you go away. If you've got a question for Christy, don't hesitate to give us a call. You know that number, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime, from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6276. All right. Well, we are back here, and of course, we've got the budget down there in Columbia. It seems like things shuffle back and forth between the Senate to the House, then they go into conference. Then we look at, I think they only have like 2 weeks left, and then they're probably going to go home, and then they're going to come back, would I guess be probably what's going to happen. I doubt if this whole budget issue is going to be done at the end of session. What do you think, Christy?
Well, we're certainly hopeful of that, and we're very much appreciative of all the dialogue that's been held this session with regard to infrastructure funding.
Well, if the state is going to grow, and, right now we're looking at the inland port versus the port down there, that road system needs to be in good shape, doesn't it?
Well, absolutely. I mean, our Secretary of Transportation, Robert St. Ange, he's noted many times that, obviously for our transportation infrastructure to work cohesively, both on the seaside and the land side, that as well as rail, that all the components have to fit together and fit together well, and that means, you don't want to take containers off of a rail or either a barge and set them on the dock for transport, and then the roads be clogged behind it. So you got to work together, and he's worked very hard with our partners, with the Department of Commerce as well as the State Ports Authority, to look at a cohesive plan of meeting the infrastructure needs of the state.
Absolutely. So on the budget, I understand that there is they're trying to put together $50 million to put towards the DOT, which then could be used to leverage, $500 million through the Infrastructure Bank?
That is the most recent proposal that came out of the Senate, and as part of the budget debate that happened late last week. It's in basically in a nutshell, it sets aside $50 million out of general fund monies annually at the appropriations process, sends that revenue stream to the DOT, and then the DOT in turn transmits an equivalent amount to the State Infrastructure Bank that in essence functions like a bank, just like you would think a bank would, and that means that they have the ability to issue bonds. And you know, I think the news stories that have been broadcast relative to the this proposed funding, the news broadcasts indicate, you know, that there may be some potential to issue bonds against that revenue stream and potentially leverage it up on a 10-to-1 ratio to deploy towards infrastructure needs. Obviously, it's very early on in the process. A lot of discussion has to happen. Again, this is the Senate side. The House had their own version that Speaker Harrell was involved in, and obviously those two need to go to there'll be a conference committee to work through some of the details, and you know, we'll see what comes out at the end of session.
Absolutely. Now, I understand the Department of Transportation says it needs $1.5 billion yearly over 20 years just to get the roads in good condition.
That's correct.
My God, that's like the federal budget here.
Well, we call it getting to good, and basically we've identified about a $29 billion gap of resource to needs looking out 20 years for the state. And, you know, there are a couple of things that contribute to that, and, of course, one of which is you know, our revenue stream is based on 1987 type dollars. So,
is that basically from the gas tax?
That's correct. It was the state motor user fee that was imposed in 1987. Well, it's imposed prior to that, but there was an increase of about 3 cents that was implemented in 1987, and you know, that gets us to the 16.75 cents that I mentioned earlier on the state side. So prior to that, it was 13 cents and some change. But, you know, over the last 25-plus years since that was implemented, you know, inflation has eaten away at it, as well as just some other general costs that most business owners face themselves, material costs going up, labor costs going up. Those industries or partners that businesses that offer health insurance have, I'm sure, seen just like we have the cost of health insurance and employer contributions on health insurance escalate over the years. We've certainly seen that. So, you know, in essence, just because of the impact of inflation, that $1 from 1987 has eroded to about 49 cents of purchasing power today for the agency.
Well, what is the feeling about the gas tax? I mean, as far as what the any senators in the House, whatnot, how do they feel? I mean, you know, anytime you talk about raising taxes, everybody gets crazy about it. But if it's so out of whack, and you know that I'm pretty sure that in South Carolina has one of the lowest gas taxes in the nation, what is the problem? I certainly don't want to see my have to pay more at the pump. But on the flip side, I don't want to drive over a pothole and have to break an axle and have to pay for that either. So what is the answer, Christy?
Well, you know, the DOT, we have worked very hard to, I guess, explain the needs of the state and the condition of our, meaning the state of South Carolina, the citizens, the condition of the assets, the roads and bridges and everything. And we have really not particularly advocated a certain funding mechanism or funding policy. because obviously that's a legislative and executive type branch type issue for them to work on. You know, Governor Haley, as part of her executive budget, proposed revitalizing the transportation system. She had a plan that basically allocated about $90 million towards roads and bridges as part of her budget. And, you know, as you go through the budget process, the House has their ideas and the Senate has their ideas, and that's where you get into the conference committee discussions. But, you know, South Carolina is, as you said, we have the fourth largest system, but we also have, you know, the fourth lowest state motor fuel user fee in the state and in the nation. And a lot of states are moving away from the state motor user fee or the gas tax to fund their transportation solely. I mean, it's usually a diversified revenue stream of a mix of motor fuel user fees. You know, some states like Virginia have moved to a sales tax type approach. There's just numerous ways of doing it. Tolling is large in some states.
In the Northeast, it definitely is where I lived. I mean, you know, I never, when I moved south, it was like, wow, they don't charge for their roads. This is pretty cool.
Sure. And states like Florida are very, very big in the tolls. But, you know, South Carolina, the appetite really hasn't been there for tolling type projects. We do have a very successful toll project in the Hilton Head area, and that's Cross Island Parkway. It's been very successful since its implementation. But
how about up there in Greenville?
Well, it's been a successful project, but the revenue stream, I believe, just hasn't materialized the way that it was initially envisioned.
Well, they kept upping the tolls. I think they've finally reached their max.
Well, I mean, the road's in good condition, and it does meet a need for the area, but the the key on funding for transportation is really diversification, and especially when you look at gas tax and in general, mm-hmm. even our State Board of Economic Advisors has looked at the state motor fuel user fee. The federal government has looked at the projections for collections at the federal level, long term, short, mid range, and long term. And when you look at all of the new all the new efficiency standards that are being proposed, you certainly would envision. Or the economists,
less revenue. Yep.
Sure. The economists are saying, well, your consumption's going to go down if these new efficiencies are implemented
but the roads are still going to be used.
Right. So if your motor fuel user fee declines over time, or your collections on the gas tax decline over time, then you have to have something else to backfill it. So obviously, a lot of good policy issues to be discussed. Again, you know, we focused on explaining what the condition is and what the needs are.
Well, I think one thing for sure is we have learned there is a huge need. I think we're going to hold this over just a second just to go over a couple more of these issues, because it is fascinating how we could get ourselves in such a situation and have to be dealing with it now when the economy is not the very best. Hey, you are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. Yes, I'm Ann Eller. Yes, I'm here with Christy Hall. You know, Christy, I was looking over your sheet that you graciously brought me here about how much it cost for bridge replacements. $5 to $6 million average for a bridge on the federal aid system, $500,000 to $1 million average for a bridge on a non-federal aid system. That would be 2-lane secondary roads. That's huge.
Yes.
And how many bridges do we have here in the state?
Oh, well, 8,400. Of course, not all of those need replacing.
Right.
But there certainly is a large bridge need that the state has currently.
So we have the bridges to take care of, we have the roads to take care of, and then, of course, you know, I keep noticing all these new signs that keep going up, right? I mean, there's new signage going up indicating where, now are those done by like, the Lander Equestrian System and Park Seed, and we have all these identification signs that have been gone through and changed too.
Sure. Those signs are, most of the ones that you're referring to are considered what we call wayfinding mm-hmm. signs, and those are generally done in partnership with our local communities, such as the City of Greenwood or the County of Greenwood may approach the agency and say, hey, we'd like to put up these signs and get your concurrence in them. So we work with our local partners on those. There has been a safety effort underway that most people will notice as you approach an intersection now. You'll see typically either one or two signs indicating a crossing route with the name of the crossing route on it. And sometimes you may see a stop sign ahead indication sign as well. But those are the type of signs that we would do as part of a safety type project, safety initiative.
Exactly. Well, Christy, is there anything else that you think we have a need-to-know basis right here today, since we've been talking budget, we've been talking roads, we've been talking bridges, we've talked a little bit about the infrastructure bank and how it could help affect a big change in the roads? Anything else you'd like us to know here today?
Well, we talked a good bit about bridges, and the funding gap on those annually is about $35 million to meet the needs of getting us to a good condition and keeping us there. On the pavement condition, we need, based on the condition of the resources, about $422 million additional annually just to get us and keep us at good. And then on capacity, meaning your widening projects, whether it's on the interstate or the bypass needs widening or whatnot, those needs are much larger and, of course, much more expensive because you have right-of-way to buy and bridges to replace and interchanges to improve and install, and the needs, the gap on those are approximately $936 million annually. And so it's all those numbers added up plus another area of just regular routine type maintenance, general repairs, gets us up to the $1.5 billion gap annually in needs.
Wow, that's huge. You know, the other thing we should mention, a lot of the road projects are bid now. I mean, it's not really the state doing those projects. You do just basic maintenance type projects, and I guess the mowers and that type of thing. That would be something that you do. But most of the projects are bid in to DOT.
That's correct. We outsource a great deal, or the vast majority of our construction type projects, our widenings, repaving, preservation type projects. We will outsource a great deal of those to the private sector. We feel like that's the most cost beneficial way to doing it. Certainly the speed of doing it is going to be cost benefit to the state and to the citizens. The routine maintenance type activities, we have traditionally done the bulk of those in-house, and I'm talking about, you know, general patching of potholes, replacing damaged pipes, and mowing as needed. Of course, we've had to cut back on our mowing frequencies due to budget constraints the last several years. But we're hoping that now that we've gotten our finances back on track and we have a good look ahead, forecast of our revenues and expenditures, that we're able to plan and to resource our routine maintenance operations a little better than we have in the past.
Well, Christy Hall, it's been a pleasure to have you here. Thanks so much for coming up and sharing all this great information. Hopefully we can get our roads back on track, because the better the roads are, the better our people will feel about things, and businesses coming into each and every area, as well as the tourism dollars that come in too.
Thank you, Ann. Roads are key to our economy, and I appreciate the opportunity to come up and talk with you today.
All right. Thank you so much. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. That's going to do it for me. Hope you all have a great afternoon. Be back in the morning at 8 o'clock. Don't miss it. The I Love Ann Show. Bye-bye, everybody.